How so? Charlie said. We only use it if we get lost. If the insertion angle was off by a thousandth of a radian, we were liable to wind up on the other side of the galaxy. We can get a rough idea of our position by analyzing the spectra of the brightest stars. Thumbprints. Identify three, and we can triangulate. Then find the nearest collapsar and get back on the rack, I said. That's the problem. Sada 138 is the only collapsar we know of in the Magellanic Clouds. We know of it only because of captured enemy data. Even if we could find another collapsar, assuming we got lost in the cloud, we wouldn't know how to insert. That's great. It's not as though we'd be actually lost, he said with a rather wicked expression. We could zip up in the tanks, aim for Earth, and blast away at full power. We'd get there in about 3 months, ship time. Sure, I said, but 150,000 years in the future. At 25 Gs, you get to 9/10 the speed of light in less than a month. From then on, you're in the arms of St. Albert. Well, that is a drawback, he said. But at least we'd find out who'd won the war. It made you wonder how many soldiers had gotten out of the war in just that way. There were 42 strike forces, lost somewhere and unaccounted for. It was possible that all of them were crawling through normal space at near light speed and would show up at Earth or Stargate one by one over the centuries. A convenient way to go AWOL, since once you were out of the chain of collapsar jumps, you'd be practically impossible to track down. Unfortunately, your jump sequence was pre-programmed by Strike Force Command. The human navigator only came into the picture if a miscalculation slipped you into the wrong wormhole, and you popped out in some random part of space. Charlie and I went on to inspect the gym, which was big enough for about a dozen people at a time. I asked him to make up a roster so that everyone could work out for an hour each day when we were out of the tanks. The mess area was only a little larger than the gym. Even with four staggered shifts, the meals would be shoulder-to-shoulder affairs, and the enlisted men and women's lounge was even more depressing than the officers. I was going to have a real morale problem on my hands long before the 20 months were up. The armorer's bay was as large as the gym, mess hall and both lounges put together. It had to be, because of the great variety of infantry weapons that had evolved over the centuries. The basic weapon was still the fighting suit, though it was much more sophisticated than that first model I had been squeezed into just before the Aleph Null campaign.